All right, so we are officially, we've made it now out of our first series on the whole armor of God. Down now, I'll say that, we're still doing sweat. Like, sweat's not done. Even though it's part of the whole armor of God, it'll be a continuing thing. So if you haven't given me your verses, it's still a thing you can do. So we'll look at it more. Once it gets just a hair warmer, we can actually start going outside. It'll ramp up. But in the meantime, the aforementioned series I talked about was that we're going to look at the dating word for a while, the relationships. Now, before we get into it, I felt like it'd be fun to do kind of the old school Zach style, just like ask a question and just let you guys mosh pish it.
We should do that.
So I've got some questions, and we're going to start off just. I'm curious what you guys think on a couple of these questions. So, question and answer. Anybody, feel free to raise your hand. Feel free to, whatever. Anything you thought. Any thoughts, anything you got. So, first question. Okay, first question. Just for you guys. I'm curious, what are some standards that you guys have for, like, someone before you date them? Now, like, you know, I'm talking everything. Like, does she need to like pie? Like, in my family, a chick needed to like pie. I'm not joking. My mom actually like assigned spiritual value to whether or not someone liked pie. I'm like 100% dead honest. She had to like pie
at your reception.
So, you know, pie, you know, does she have to be in the same music? You know, does he have to, you know, be a certain level of hotness? Like, you don't date under like a 9 or a 10, right? Like, okay. So, Marcella, you got a...
I he has to know how to roller skate.
Okay, that's fair.
Before, like, dating somebody, like, liking somebody, you have to...
Either one. What are some standards you got? You know what I mean? Like if a boy doesn't have it, you're just not interested. You know what I mean? Like, what's...
If he's not close with God, at least, like... If he doesn't even, like, talk about me...
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh!
Anything.
Oh, so he has to talk... He not just, like, you know...
Be involved.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. I like... Good, yes. Okay, Elena?
He has to be a strong believer in actively pursuing his relationship. He has to be willing to come to church with me here. And then he has to like skating at least enough to go with me. Then he has to like reading enough to go with me. And then he has to be taller than me.
Does he have to like... Oh, the taller thing.
Wait.
She
threw that
in. See?
One side. I just read like novels.
Oh, interesting. Hey, now, hold the thoughts. We're going to unpack those a little bit. So number one, does it have to be the same reading genre?
No.
No, so as long as he likes any reading.
Just be able to silently sit and read together.
Yeah, like have like a moment, yeah, just like back to back in like a coffee shop reading. Okay, that's important. No, that's fair. No, okay, fair enough. I'm not going to challenge anybody's thoughts on this one. I'm not going to say anything, so we're going to continue on. Kenzie was next, and then we'll come back.
Okay. He has to be saved how we are through faith, and he has to attend like a church that teaches that, like preferably this church. And then he has to be taller than me, also.
Really? Really? Kenzie, I think we need to break up.
You start to throw that out the window after a while.
Yeah.
And I don't like boys with blonde hair.
Whoa!
Oh!
Whoa!
Hey, there, dye is a thing, okay? Dye is a thing. It's fine.
Keep dying after being married.
Yeah.
I'm
you know, okay, we will make it back to the girls, but I want to hear, like, Xavier's got to add something to the conversation. You're sitting there too quiet. What's the lady got to have?
Whatever God puts in my life, I guess.
That's right.
Oh, whatever. Okay. Okay, how would you know? What would be a sign? What would be a thing that would be like, that's the sign. That's the one that God sent, you know?
I don't know, he'll just let me know somehow.
He'll let you know. So, like, billboard.
No.
Like.
That's like charismatic stuff.
So he'll let you know somehow, but not like a charismatic.
When the time comes.
Like, you're going to, like, there's, like, a verse in the Old Testament that, like, says, Xavier married Petunia.
Petunia.
That's a pig.
That is a pig's name. Or I feel like that'd be a cute bunny name, right?
No.
No?
That would be a cute bunny name.
I think it's cute.
His name is not
Petunia. Okay.
No. Old lady.
Continue on. What do you have?
Must be willing to like compliment.
That's fair. That's fair. You know, like nice. Like see nice things in other people. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean that would be a big like red flag if they never could. So okay, yeah. There was more. What else you got?
He has to like,
Yes.
Yes. I don't want you.
Preach. Preach. Okay.
And
coach,
yeah, I don't really care about sports, but like sports in general.
Okay. Okay.
And he has to come to church. Well, this is my dad's role, but I like it too. He has to, before dating, he has to come to church for 2 years.
Okay. Okay. Gotta have a, some history. Okay. Grayson. Grayson, do you have anything to add in this conversation?
He's on his 7th girlfriend of the week
so
far.
Oh man, does she like have to like football? Does she? I mean, what's that?
To like Mahomes.
Yeah, like
practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She has to cheer you on every time.
Oh, hi. She's got to move for the church.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. Hey, you and I are in the same boat, brother. You're not in the same boat.
She's got to fill the roles of Genesis 24.
There you go. Getting more specific. The seniors are flexing. Okay.
Open just to make sure.
I've heard this is a good book.
I gotta try that one sometime. Okay, Jay, what's your? Does she need to like soccer? No. A little bit.
Fishing.
Does she? No, nothing.
Yeah, they have to like fishing too.
Fishing.
If you don't like fishing, I'm done.
Although sometimes it's kind of nice when they go fishing.
And it's not after.
Okay. Trust. No, see, well, that's a good thing. Nice. That's a better. I agree. Okay. Okay. Jay said he'd rather have a dog, and I thoroughly am like, that's good. So, yeah, good job, Jay. Good job. Like at this point, dogs are better. Let's be real. Not as better than women in general, but just if I was back in high school, I would just get me a good dog. You know what I mean? Just like, yeah. But okay. Second question. What were you saying? Huh? Oh, you want a what?
Like the bird?
Oh. Dude, those are cool. Did you have one more? Okay.
This is gonna sound stupid, but if we're gonna have like a mullet or like curly hair. Long hair in general,
close
they
enough.
Have to have
so
the
good.
Hair for it.
No,
wait,
no,
did you
just
say a mullet is acceptable?
Yes.
What do you want?
No, that's...
Yeah.
Until
they respect the hair and it's like...
I don't have a mullet, but I feel attacked, okay? No. I was born this way. Okay, we're moving on. Okay. Okay, next question. We'll go a little bit faster on some of these. When is someone ready to date?
Never.
I don't know. What age?
Well, yeah. Like, what do you think? Like,
right now?
When someone
right
ready?
Now.
Like,
now?
These are very intentionally, purposely, super open-ended questions to kind of just get whatever thoughts you guys have. Xavier, we're going
late
with you
in
first.
High school or after?
Huh?
Late in high school or after?
Late in high school or after? Okay. Okay. Kenzie?
We say after 18.
After 18,
yeah.
That's your family rule.
Because we don't want them to like distract from school.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Yep. Jaywoo.
When you like can balance everything that's in your life currently, and then being able to add something else.
Ooh.
That's a terrible answer.
I can't do it.
See?
Where's that?
Jordan, can you just preach next week? We'll just okay.
You didn't even have a Bible open for that answer. Okay.
Yeah. Because you made it up.
Okay, you had a hand, Marcella.
I did.
Okay.
My mom said that we would talk about it at 15.
So that's talking about it.
She didn't say yes or
okay.
No. She just said talking.
I understand what that means. Yeah. Okay. All right. What? Who else? What else we got? Anybody else got opinions? Okay. Next up. So here's a kind of a weird question, but think about it. Why do people date? What are reasons people date? Marcella.
To have someone in their life that they know that they can trust.
Oh, that's valid. Yeah, wanting someone to like kind of want like a best friend kind of situation. Elena.
Like selfish gain.
Selfish. Yeah, they just want. Like, what are you thinking?
Like they want stuff out of another person.
So dang. Just...
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's complete. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow,
it's valid. It's valid. Yeah.
People just feel like they're lonely, so they think they
just want to not be lonely. Yep.
And the unsafe sensor just trying to like fill that hole.
Okay, yeah.
So for the answer, Jay has had for all of those, stick in a dog.
And you know what? It works pretty good. Huh? What are the boys thinking? What are the boys?
I guess for like to get married in the end, because if you date otherwise, there's no point. But also to have like that help me and someone else to keep you in check.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm just gonna stop asking you questions because you're gonna ruin my sermon. Daggummit. All right, Xavier. What's your you got an opinion? Why like when you see classmates date? Like what's a reason like a lot of your classmates date?
To be cool.
To be cool. Yeah. I mean that is like. Yeah, no, there's status in having a lady if you're a dude or a...
Especially when she's in college and 2 years old.
In school.
Dude, Jordan's just... Yeah. Okay. So then, let's go with Jordan's answer, right? So if the end goal of dating is what, right? 9 times, you know, ideally, right? Like Jordan said, biblically speaking, the end goal of dating would be marriage. So let's ask some of those questions about marriage then. Okay. So let's look at, let's see what this is. So are the standards different for someone you need to marry? What are the standards for someone that you need to marry? What are those standards?
Marcia. Must be willing to do Clark Griswold lights.
That's real. Though.
Okay.
Fair. Fair. If the energy bill doesn't go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What else you got? Marriage. Marriage rules. What are things, the standards you'd have for marriage? Don't do it. Jay's like a second dog. Yeah, the trip.
He has to be financially stable. He has to have a job.
Has to have a job, not some deadbeat.
Mature.
So if someone's like, if someone worked at a coffee shop, would that be enough of a job? Okay.
I'm in front of it. I don't need hydrating.
Just checking. All right. Anybody else have any different opinions on that one? What do you got, Kenzie?
I wouldn't have to be the one to like drag the weight in the relationship.
You don't want to wear the pants in the relationship.
Whenever the person's lacking, I don't want to have to like drag it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are you gonna lack when
like,
they lack?
Lacking what?
Are you gonna lack when they lack then?
No, I'm just saying like the lacking in like finances. Yeah. Or like if they lack in like keeping a stable job, if they lack in, you know, like the Bible and stuff, then
just hasta la vista.
So the reverse is what do you expect them to do when you lack?
No.
They can't have you.
I'm joking. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to be a stay-at-home mom?
This is a question. What do you do when you lack? What are they supposed to do?
Deal with it?
If you lose.
I mean.
You're gonna, yeah, there's a lot of demands.
That's fairly biblical. Yeah, we lost Grayson. Oh,
he's like, I'm done.
Well, like, if you lost a job, were they supposed to, like, help them?
What?
Because you said if they lose their job, you aren't going to help them.
Like, engagement.
So then if you lost the job,
would help them. I just said I wouldn't marry them if they can't keep, like, you know, like, stable jobs.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant, like, if you were married.
If they're, like, a job offer. Yeah. What?
Okay, next up.
From engaged person, he has to have a house.
Oh, he has to have a house.
Girl, have you seen
this Wait, to marry him has a house?
You Gen Zers are going to have a rough time, man. Okay. Okay, Marcella, we'll move on to the next question after Marcella.
Kids and giant dogs.
Kids and giant dogs? Like you have to agree on those things?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yes. Okay. Okay, let's see here. Why should people get married?
What was the question?
Why should people get married? I'm going to make someone else answer first because I know you're reliable. Yeah. Why should people get married?
Well, this is like family is supposed to be ministry pretty much.
Okay. It's like ministry aspect of it. Okay. Okay. Any other thoughts on that one?
Like so that they can grow together and then they can have like a family and they can start growing.
Okay.
So that... so that when you're tempted to do stuff, it's not illegal in the Bible, I guess. I don't know how.
I mean, that's
I didn't want to say it. I wanted to
I mean, that's 1 Corinthians 6, so, I mean, that's fair. That's,
I got it.
I mean, that's a...
Hey, just because my mind didn't go there.
Okay, so, now, okay, last question here. Who came up with the idea of marriage? Like, when did it come around? Like, what part of history? Where did marriage first show up?
Babylon.
Anybody know? Someone, you got to raise your hand and tell me. Not can't mumble it out.
2020,
marriage invented in 2020.
Yeah.
So Kenzie and I are the hipsters that we like figured it out first. Yeah. There you go. What is like when did marriage? Yeah. There you go. What you got? Huh?
Adam and Eve.
There we go. Okay. Yes. Okay. Adam and Eve. So did Adam come up with it?
No, God didn't.
God came up with marriage. Okay. So. All of that was kind of a entertaining point to just kind of get our brains thinking and also realize that right at the end of the day, we have a lot of thoughts and feelings and experiences and built up ideas. Like who doesn't have like that picture in their head of like that perfect person, you know, or as a kid, you're growing up like, okay, the girls already have like... Which one of the girls? Yeah, you guys have your colors picked out yet?
No. What? No.
No?
What is
yeah, Marcella's like, yeah?
My favorite color is going to change.
Okay, so not colors, but you've like, you know, like a lot of people have thought about, you know, not yet. That's good. You don't want to count your chickens before they hatch. Okay, but right? The idea is that there's a lot of things like, you know, think about what the influences are in your life. Where do you see marriage most often? Where do you see kind of examples of that? I mean, you see it obviously in your parents, and you know, basically all you guys have good solid biblical parents, so that's a good thing that sets you apart. But right, most of the time, you know, it's people that we see, you know, it's school, we see couples a lot on TV, right? I mean, it just feels normal that couples should have knockdown dragouts, because every single sitcom ever, the couples have knockdown dragouts and raise each other's voices and get angry, and you know so kind of this, the thought of asking those questions, we're just kind of looking, it's like, you know, outside of maybe Jaywoo over there, Mr. Bible Thumper, right? We all have stuff that we kind of go to that we bring and isn't necessarily from the creator of marriage itself, right? There's a lot of things that we kind of have this picture and influence of what marriage is in our life. And so that's why, I mean, I think it's important to study this topic a little bit. Now, like, obviously, marriage is a far way out from you guys, but there is something that's not that's terribly, terribly far out, and that's, you know, the idea that you might, you know, like someone, you know, that, you know, Xavier's like, never, right? Hey, dude, you know, more power to you. Like I said, you do more for the Lord that way, so it works out. But look at this, right? Like, to marry the right person, you have to date the right person, right? You can't have the correct marriage if you don't have the correct dating life, right? So it's important if we want to someday have a, you know, and not all of us are going to get married, right? Not everybody will, and that's a good thing, and we'll cover that at a later date. But understanding that if you're going to go out there in life and potentially have these situations come up, I want you guys to have principles to go off of and not just random thoughts and random feelings and random, you know, whatever you've encountered along throughout your life. I want you guys to have biblical principles to guide that decision, because I mean, really, genuinely, if you were to look at your life choices on an importance level, right? Obviously, if this is up here, is this is like, you know, getting saved, and this is like all the other decisions, marriage is just like right up there, who you pick to be with. And so I'm really passionate about, you know, not treating it like the world treats it, where it's this flamboyant thing that I'm just going to date whoever, I'm going to do it for fun, right? I think there's principles that we need to learn. And so I'm not covering this because I want to encourage you guys to date. In fact, I would encourage you oftentimes not to, because it's really expensive at your age to date. If you don't, now, financially, maybe, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, but it's expensive in a different way that we're going to talk about at some other point in time. So I don't want you to think that, oh, Jared talked about dating, so now I'm just like, good to go, got all the principles locked and loaded, let's go find me a lady, Xavier. You know, slow down. You're just picking on Xavier. I am picking on Xavier. He's the only one over there in that corner that I can, like, I can't pick on Kenzie. You know, that's rude. Oh, yeah. And then Drake and Alex are, like, leaders, so I can't really pick on them. So he's just, you know, it's okay. Yeah, we're fine. So anyway, all that to say, that's why I'm covering this, and I think it's super important. And we're going to discuss today why it's so important, right? I'm going to prove to you guys that it's super important. Where did all of my... Bring Aaron up for 1 week, and I can't find my pens. Okay. So I'll pray us in real fast and we'll get going on our actual lesson. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all you've given us. I pray you'd bless this time, Lord. Help us to see the things in our life that just maybe don't come from you, Lord. Ideas, pre-assumptions, influences that are in our life, Lord, that might be influencing the things that we do. And I pray you'd give us the diligence and the wisdom and have your Holy Spirit guide us in such a way that we can look to see your thoughts on every situation that we go into and not think about ourselves first, but think about you and your mission and your glory first, Lord. And so pray you bless this time, open up our hearts, open up our minds, give me the words to say, get me out of the way, and let us learn something about you tonight. In your name, amen. Alrighty, so the first place in the Bible, right? That's a great place to start when you're trying to study something. The first place that's mentioned in the Bible. Good job, Xavier. So let's flip back to Genesis chapter 2. Beep, 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 beep. The first reason marriage is important. We're going to look at that. How many years do you have to be married to feel confident about spelling marriage? That's a...
Let us know.
That's a... It's rough, man.
It's a
marriage.
It's a marriage.
Alrighty, the first reason we're going to look at marriage is important is because it is planned by God. Right? This was not something man came up with. Gough, dating. This was not something that, you know, just came along at some point in time. This was created by God at the beginning of his creation. From the beginning, when man and woman were on the earth, right? Marriage was a thing. So, pay attention here, ladies.
I'm out of spell.
You don't have a spell? You can always correct it. So let's look at when God planned it. Let's look at this. Genesis 2, starting verse 15. Follow along with me, if you will. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So we're back at the Garden of Eden, right? And God has now placed man in the Garden of Eden. And first thing here I want you to look at, right? Well, I'm going to read this all, and then we'll go back and look at it, because I want you guys to get the picture. So, Genesis 2, 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs. And closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So, that's basically the picture of the first marriage, right? God puts Adam to sleep, pulls out his rib, makes him a lady, brings her to him. And then, bam, we got our first marriage in the Bible. So let's look at this, verse by verse, verse 15. Verse 15, the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So, dadgum, I'm just gonna stand up because I can't stop kicking my music stand. To dress it and to keep it. So, we're gonna look at the first thing. We're gonna cover next week a lot more about the differences between, like, man and woman, husband and wife. But this is the first place that we get something, right? Man was put on earth and given immediately a task to do, right? Did he put him in the Garden of Eden to hang out and sip some berries and lounge on a polar bear? Right? No, he didn't do that kind of stuff. What did he do? The Lord God put man into the garden to dress it and to keep it. So I want you to understand, this is something about life in general. God gave man a work to do, every man, right? Every person. Right? We looked at this in the will of God, plan of God. Every single person has a will and has a plan that God wants them to accomplish. Every single person has something he wants you to do, right? He didn't just leave you down here. We've talked about this before. He didn't just get you saved and throw you down here on this earth and say, well, have a good time until you make it to heaven, right? At the end of the day, he fundamentally wanted you to do a work. Now let's keep going here. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Isn't that kind of a weird word? I'm sure you guys have been around Old Path long enough to know that that's an important phrase right there. A helpmeet. Isn't that a weird word? Didn't say he made a spouse for him. Didn't say he made a friend for him. Right? Didn't say that he made him a friend, it made him a companion, made him a help feel less lonely. It didn't say that he made him a life partner. It said he made him a help meet. What does that mean? Someone tell me. Marcella, your hand's up first.
Maybe like to assist him in doing
Yeah, perfect, right? So we've defined two things, right? Man had a job to do, and then he's given a help meet, which the words exactly spell it out, right? She helps him meet that plan. Good job, Marcella. Put context clues together, right? So, you know, and a lot of people will say that that's sexist. You know, I don't know if anybody... apparently, some people think, you know, God is chauvinist or Paul is chauvinist. That's what... I was listening to a Mike Veach sermon the other day where he had met someone that genuinely believed that, right? That God's sexist, man, you know, he gave work to man, but man, he just made woman help meet the man. Stupid, you know, sexist, just the patriarchy. You know. No. Not at all. Have you ever thought about who is pushing for woman to be exactly like man in the world right now? Feminists, right? Okay, let's expand that, right? That's the definition, right? Feminists are people that want women to be, like, you know, higher up, which, you know, I'm not saying women should be, you know, put down in any way, right? But what's often associated? What's that crowd? Who rolls with that crowd?
Joe Biden.
Yes. Who? Joe Biden is what?
Unsaved.
Yes. Unsaved. I don't know. There's just something interesting to look at that the people that want woman to be exactly like man aren't Christians, aren't born-again saved people that have the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God inside of them. The people that want man and woman to be exactly the same and equal and even interchangeable, right? Those are unsaved, unrepentant sinners, woke folk, you know? So it's kind of interesting, and that should perk your interest. It should pique your ears as a Christian. When the world hates something, when the world hates, you know, traditional family values, hey, you know, world also hates God, you know, so it's in good company, right? Something to pique your interest, something to think about, something to look at. And I want you to understand here, just because woman was made to help man meet something does not mean that they are, like, inferior to man. So people are going to try to say that it's sexist, that traditional roles are sexist, where a wife has to help the man, that's sexist, right? You know, at the end of the day, he should be supporting her in her business suit, you know, go off and do all this stuff, and, you know, I mean, that's fine. If a woman wants to go do that stuff, that's fine. But at the end of the day, in a marriage, there is a leader and there is a follower in that specific relationship. And that is very frowned upon today and very not accepted, and it's not really cool to talk about. But think about it. You guys do team sports. Someone that's done a team sport. Someone who's done a team sport. Who's done a team sport? Yeah? Okay. Are there different roles on your team?
Yes.
What are they? Help me out. What's your sport?
I know basketball. You do a lot of sports.
Okay. In basketball, what do you have?
There's a point guard.
What's a? I've always wondered what a point guard does. I know the name. What's it do?
Point guard. I'm pretty sure. I don't know for sure because I'm dumb. But they are at the top, and they usually are the ones that do like three pointers.
Okay.
They don't. They're not down low on the block when they hit.
Okay, so they're not like the ones doing like layups and like bashing people at free
throws. They are the ones doing layups. They're the ones
those.
But the posts are down low on the block. Next to the
You're using so many words that I don't know.
They're next to the
goal.
Okay.
They drive the winning.
Point guards are under the goal.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Okay. So, but yeah, right, so there's different roles. So you've got like offensive people, you've got defensive people. Like, and generally speaking, they fill different roles. Yeah? Okay. I mean, think about work. You've got your jobs, right? Does every single person at your job do the exact same thing?
No.
No, right? That's dumb. Like, I mean, I don't know what your job looks like now, but like a Cracker Barrel, right? You had servers, you had waitresses, you had cooks. Yeah, you had cooks, you had dish cleaners, right? If you took rid of any one of those people, does the system function? If you take out point guards, or I don't know what you would call the least important, you know, or you got goalies, right? Like, maybe the goalie doesn't see a lot of action during the game. I don't know, maybe they do, maybe they don't, right? But if you miss them, if you're missing them, right, the whole team doesn't work. So it's not that they're less important, they just have a different role. And so that's fundamentally what I want you guys to see in this marriage situation, because we're going to spend a lot of time talking about men and women and the difference there, is that just because men and women have different roles doesn't mean that one's inferior. It doesn't mean that you need to make it into this sexist, chauvinist argument that the world would love nothing more than to put in Christians' mouths that, you know, woman is inferior to man. Nowhere in the Bible does it say such a thing, right? The Ephesians 5.23, or not Ephesians 5.23, what am I looking for? Did I lose my verse? I did lose my verse, right? What does it say? We're neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, nor male nor female in Christ Jesus. Bingo. Thank you for helping me out there, right? I don't know why I lost my reference there. What does that mean? When we get to heaven, are you going to, here's just kind of a weird thing, when we get to heaven, are you going to, like, still be a woman in the same way that you are down here, in the same flesh that you are down here? So if you think about it like this, okay, let's kind of identify a few of us here, right? So you've got, I mean, who can I pick on here? Right? We'll pick on Alex. He's the classic, right? So we've got, black.
That's the black guy.
Right, we got black. We got, you know, athletic. Okay, we've got black, athletic. We got, you know, I don't know, good looking. We got Christian. You know, that's in there.
You need to replace the T with an F in there.
Athlete.
Allergy
to your looking.
It's good looking.
Yeah, good looking.
Good looking. You know, someone's not. You're good looking. You know, you're good looking. You know, it's different.
If it's somebody you like, you're good looking.
Right. Good looking. Okay, so we got all these identities that we have down here on Earth. Okay, now next up, who else do we want to pick on?
Not me.
We can pick on. Let's pick on Drake. We got to pick on Drake. We've got. He's a. You know.
He's either Mexican or Asian.
He's got cool shoes.
Cross-country shoes.
Plain black shoes.
We've got. You know. He's also a Christian.
He's Drake.
I don't know. What else do we want? I don't know. Or okay, now we'll pick on me, right? We've got, you know,
white,
short. No, I am not white.
You are white.
I am not white.
You are almost as white as I am.
Excuse me. I am pasty. There is a difference. See, like if you compare the skin tone, right? See
that pastry.
See, like you got like a nice, you know, and then I'm pale. Yeah, exactly. There's a difference. So I'm pasty. No, yeah, also Christian.
You're also Luigi, but
yeah, Christian, Luigi.
Glasses.
Right, okay.
Poor eyesight.
What happens when we get to heaven? Which one of these stay?
Christian.
Right? At the end of the day, beep, 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 beep. That is a terrible eraser. Holy cow. That hurts my soul. Okay.
It hurts everyone's soul.
Right? Right? When us three dudes get to heaven, is there any different fundamentally between us? Right? The same if we... I could have thrown Kenzie on there, right? I could have done, you know, white woman, good looking, you know, tall. Tall, very tall. The high pain tolerance. I don't know. I mean, there's just all sorts of stuff, right? There's lots of traits. So this is kind of what it is, right? When we get into heaven, right, there is neither Jew nor free, nor bond, nor Jew nor Greek, nor bond, nor free, or male or female. We're all one. When we get to the body of Christ, the only identity that you really have for eternity is whether or not you're saved. All your other ones burn with this stupid flesh that we're going to lose and put off, right? You think about it. The body you have right now is the most sinful, rotten thing that you will ever be associated with. But a lot of us really like to tie our identity to it. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. So all that to say, when I'm coming back around, the Bible's not saying that men and women are inferior or superior to each other in any sort of way. They serve different roles. And the world's going to try to tell you that that's sexist, but guess what? On a football team, you have different roles because you just need, there's different tasks to be done, so you need different people to do the different tasks. And the exact same thing is true in marriage. You can't have two people both be in charge. You got a situation, you can't just have two people that are the leader. So guess what? Someone's got to be the leader. So God said, this person's the leader. Right? It's not that there's any difference, it's just the way it is. You know? So that's pretty plain and simple. Next up, let's look at verse 24 here. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Right? And this is what I was talking about earlier. At the end of the day, who created marriage? God created marriage. Now imagine, we'll prop Xavier up now. I've beat him up enough that his head's not going to get too big. Let's imagine Xavier makes a sweet, like, killer robot. Like, just super powerful, like, you know, it's like primarily meant to, like, build big buildings, right? You know, it's meant to, I don't know, like, build skyscrapers on its own. Like, it can run all night, you know, it does cool stuff. You know, it's got, like, lasers for arms that it can either weld with or kill people with, you know. It's pretty cool. So he's got this sweet robot built. What did you say?
Weld or kill people.
Welders can kill people.
Weld people.
Fact. Fact. Yeah. Right? So, okay. Now imagine. Now, Xavier says, oh, yeah, we can go, yeah, you can go drive my robot if you want. No problem. Now, and he's like, okay, but first, I just want you to realize I've got like an inch thick book here of like all the instructions. You know, this thing's pretty lethal. So, you know, here's this book, you know, this manual on this robot I created. Just, you know, watch out. There's some things in there that are important, you know, and just imagine what would happen if you all of a sudden just hop in the driver's seat and chuck the book in the back and just start pushing buttons and see what you can do.
You're probably going to explode something.
That would be neat.
Yeah, right? Okay, let's look at the closest thing we have to this in real life example, driving. Okay, everybody can act tough and everybody feels cool and like they'll be a great driver when they can finally drive. But that first time a car is passing you on this, going this way really fast, and you're driving for like the first time, it makes you really nervous. Yeah, you're riding the white line, you know, you're trying your best to stay alive. It's scary. You actually wanted someone to teach you to drive. Even if a lot of us guys think we're pretty cool and tough, but right, at the end of the day, I wanted someone to teach me to drive because this is a big, scary vehicle that I can kill people with or get killed in. Yeah? Easy to die in a car. Fair enough. So what we needed someone to teach us. We needed to have an instruction manual. We needed to be guided on how to drive. Marriage is the same thing. Do you understand that, like, what happens with your marriage will have huge consequences? We'll get down to that later here in one of these seconds. But that's why I'm trying to look at what we're doing. Look at marriage. Look at these things before you get there. Because I would rather you guys have the instruction book and not need it, then get there and try to just start driving the car. And that's why we're kind of talking about this more. And I pray and hope that you guys take the time to study this out. You would never get behind a wheel and go try to take you and your five most favorite loved ones across the country, you know, with no driving experience. You'd learn to drive first, right? So don't take someone you potentially care about and drive you guys off into a torturous, very bad situation. Marriage is super, super, it's dangerous. It can go really wrong if you don't follow God's blueprint, because God built it. So guess what? Who's the one that's going to know to be able to tell you how to do it right? God, right? Also, I was going to say this earlier. Confess your faults one to another. I hate how much I say the word right. Jay, can I say the word right again?
Oh, please give me the ball.
Throw the ball.
Dale? Dale?
Well, everybody's going to get a chance. Let's be real. Throw it in the So, Jay, help me out here, brother. Okay, flip to Ephesians 5. Let's go a little bit faster here. I'm not trying to get super deep on you. So the first reason why it's super important, marriage is super important, God planned marriage. God planned marriage. It was planned by God. The second most important reason that it's super important, redundant, is that it is pictured by God. Let's look at this real fast. Ephesians 5, verse 31. For this cause shall the man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Hey, that's the verse we just read in Genesis, right? When Adam and Eve got married. Yeah? Yeah? Come on, Jay. Come on, be a man, Jay. Be a man. You got it. All right. You can't. You gotta just do it, man. You just gotta do it. Okay. So this is a direct reference to where we just were. Okay, following along. 31. For this cause shall the man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Wait, I thought we were talking about married people. Christ and the church. Did I read that right? Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Marriage. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. God is drawing... What?
Isn't the wife supposed to be like the church?
Yes, God is drawing a parallel here. Look at this. So we've got Christ is to the church as a husband is to a wife. God is to a church as a husband is to a wife. It's a picture. Now, someone tell me what's a picture in the Bible, right? Someone give me an angry.
Yeah, he deserves it now.
Yeah, no. Someone give me an example. What's a picture in the Bible? I know we've talked about it. What's a picture in the Bible? Someone tell me what a type is. Sorry. That was not the most well thought out. But what's a picture in the Bible mean? Someone says something is a type. What does that mean?
A variant.
Nothing. A variant. Close.
What is a literal picture?
What's a picture? Yeah.
Illustration.
So, there you go. That's a good point. Yeah.
What is a literal picture?
What's a picture?
Illustration.
An illustration of?
It's an image,
something,
right?
Exactly. It's a representation of something, right? If I take a... Don't worry about it. That was fine. I get one. It's a representation. If I take a picture of this wall, do I all of a sudden now have this wall in my hand? No, I have a picture of it. Duh. Same thing. Marriage pictures the relationship between Christ and the church. So in a marriage someday, the husband is picturing what Christ is like to the church. And the church is picturing what a wife is like to her husband, and vice versa. Now, there's a couple important things about that. I mean, number one, God cares a lot about his types. you don't believe me, look back in Moses. Remember what Moses did when he smote? There was a situation where they were basically what, not starving, thirsting to death, dehydrated, I don't know. They needed water. And so God said, hey, Moses, smite the rock. So, you know, there's a big old rock somewhere, and Moses smacked it with his, you know, staff, and what? Water starts coming out. And that's a picture of the first coming of Christ, where Christ got struck. Christ, remember the solid rock? Christ got struck. Dadgummit, you guys are not holding me accountable at all. No, that's good. Well, hey, they're helping me out. Christ got struck, and out of him came water, living water, word of life, right? There you go. There you go. Not Jade. There you go. We're helping me out. And then there was a second time where they were in the exact same situation. So they're back at another rock. And this time, God tells Moses, hey, don't smite that rock. You talk to that rock. And the reason was because the first time represented the first coming of Christ, where Christ was smitten. The second coming of Christ, Christ is not getting smitten, right? If you want water from Christ at the second coming, you better be his best friend, because otherwise he's here to lop your head off, right? Dadgummit. Do it. There we go. Okay, next up. We're going to get this trained out of me. It's going to happen. Now, so Moses, think about this. Moses led, right, you know, follow along with the story. Moses led the people of Egypt for like 40 years, right? Through this. I can't do it. This is awful.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't
know. Unobservant. Moses led. Moses led the people of Egypt for 40 years. 40 years. On top of taking them out of Egypt.
Right.
He took them out of Egypt. Shut it. He took them out of Egypt. He marched them across the desert for 40 years, all heading towards this promised land that God had told him about. And so Moses gets to this rock. Instead of talking to the rock, he gets pissed off and smites it. Breaks the type. Breaks the type, and God says, you don't get to go in the promised land anymore. You've worked your whole life to bring Israel to the promised land. You've worked your whole life to do this work for me, and you could have gone across to that river and been a part of the promised land with all your people, but instead, you are going to die before you get there because you broke my type. He cares a lot about the pictures he makes. And so marriage is important because you're a type when you marry someone. And so God doesn't take it lightly when you break his types. This is why he hates, I use the word hate intentional, he hates homosexuality. He hates transgenderism. That is breaking the type of his church. That is breaking the type of his son. That is breaking all these things he cares about. You know, everybody wants to say, well, what's the big deal? You know, trans people aren't hurting anyone, and gay people are just, you know, they just love each other. It's okay. No. Marriage was created by God. It represents what Christ is to us. It represents what we are to Christ. And when you have Adam and Steve, that breaks the type. Right? You've never heard that before? It wasn't Adam and Eve. It was Adam and Steve. You know, I don't know. It's dumb. But God doesn't like it when you break his types. And so it's super important. This is why I want you guys to marry well if you do it. Because you are then, at that point in time, a type of Christ or a type of the church. And God really wants you to fulfill that type as best you can. The last one here, and I will go very fast on this one. So it was planned by God. It was pictured by God. And it was purposed by God. God has a purpose behind relationships. God has a purpose behind marriage. It is not just to have fun. It is not just to feel not lonely. It is not just to have a best friend. God has a purpose behind them. And there are eternal ramifications of that purpose. It talks about here in Ephesians 5. Let's look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, the wife, with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. marriage, fundamentally, your goal as a husband someday and your goal as a wife is to work together to make it to the judgment seat of Christ with all the rewards that he wanted you to have. Your goal as a husband is to make sure that your wife gets to the judgment seat of Christ as spotless and as blemishless and as white as we can possibly get there. And so, remember, God gave man a work to do, right? Go back. Dang it. Dad, come on. Oh, that counted as two. That counted as two. Someone else. Jay Luke. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't give it to Jordan. I'm going to hurt myself. Remember, God gave man a work to do. He gave man a work to do. That's his goal. Now imagine that man marries a woman that doesn't ever want to leave the house. Okay, is it easy to do the ministry? Well, hey, you know. Right? But is it easy to do the ministry if your spouse doesn't ever want to help you? Is she much of a helpmeet at that point in time? No, she'll be a hindrance. I think it'll be worse than if he was just by himself. Imagine that woman that you marry, maybe she's nice and claims to be saved or whatever, but doesn't understand Bible principles, doesn't care about the Lord, and then now she's the one raising your kids. You think your kids are going to care about the Lord as much as they probably should? So now, guess what? Your family is a mess. You've got kids that are rowdy. Your wife doesn't care that much for you. You're a bad husband, whatever. Imagine the Lord wanted you to preach. What are some of the requirements of being a preacher, a pastor specifically? That your family's in order, that your kids are subject to you. So boom, you're officially, maybe the Lord wanted to call you to be a pastor, but now because you married some stupid valley girl or something, I don't know, whatever, now you are not qualified to do the work that he wanted you to do. Or likewise, if you're a woman, his goal for you is that you would be able to help some man meet his work that was given to him. Imagine that man doesn't even want to do the work. Can you help him meet his work then? You're getting nothing. Getting nothing. If you marry a man that hates the church and never wants to go to church functions, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen a lot where a woman will be on fire, but the man hates the church. And then he basically holds up her spiritual growth because he doesn't want to deal with it. If you marry a man that believes he knows better than the Bible, oftentimes you have in a family, the dad kind of dictates whether the family gets saved. If a dad gets saved, a lot of times his kids get saved. If a dad doesn't get saved, a lot of times his kids don't. Do you want to risk the fact that someday, maybe if you marry the wrong person, your kids wouldn't even get saved? Now, the Lord provides a lot of grace in those situations, especially when one partner's doing everything they can. But I want you to see, marriage is purposed by God. He has a plan and a reason behind it. It is not just to have fun. And in fact, if you engage in it improperly, like Xavier's killer robot, you can cause a lot more harm than if you would have just stayed by yourself. And so it's super important to have principles in advance. You know, how many of our principles, when we were thinking about beforehand, how many of our ideas, how many of our goals, when we were talking about what our standards were for a spouse or a significant other or when we should date, how many of those were informed by Bible verses you could give me right now? I mean, Jordan's got a couple. You guys had a couple over here. Think about it. How many of those are informed by that? And so, basically, marriage is essentially picking a two-person group project. Have you ever thought about it that way? You know, imagine you really need to get an A+ in this class. There's a two-person group project. You don't get graded individually. You get graded together on whatever you made. If you wanted to get a good grade, are you going to pick the person that's your best friend? Are you going to pick the person that's fun to hang out with? Are you going to pick the person that, I don't know, you've been friends with for a long time or that they're fun to be around? Or are you going to try to partner up with that boy that's cute? No. Or the girl? Or the dog? Are you going to partner? No. If you want a good grade, who do you partner up with? The smart person. You partner up with someone that, number one, wants to do a good job, because that's the worst. That's the worst in a group project when the other person doesn't care about getting a good grade and you do, because then you end up having to carry all the work. You guys have experienced this. I'm sure you've experienced it. Right? Daggummit. Thanks for your grace. Grace and words. Okay.
God had grace.
This is essentially a group project. Marriage is essentially a group project, and the fact is there's a lot of people that get married to someone because they're cute, because they're fun, because they make me feel all warm and fuzzy, because they whatever. But at the end of the day, if your goal is to make it to the judgment seat of Christ with the most amount of rewards that you can possibly make to get there, then you have to find someone that not only wants it, but also has the ability to do it, just like in school. You want to pick the smart, motivated kid to be your partner in a group project because you know that they're going to carry their part and you know that they have the ability to do it. And that's the exact same thing in marriage. You want to pick the person that's motivated to make the judgment seat of Christ as best as they can and has the ability to do so. They have the wherewithal and the spiritual desire. And so, you know, that's pretty plain and simple, but I want you to realize this is the goal of this entire lesson. If you take nothing else from today, I don't really care. I just want you to realize God put a lot of thought and a lot of effort and a lot of planning into marriage, and it is it's something that matters a lot to Him, that it's done well and it's done right. And so I know it might seem like I'm being dramatic. You're like, dude, we're in like 8th grade. Chill out. Well, you know, like when I was in 8th grade, I spent about 90% of my time thinking about girls. So I was a little, I was a little girl crazy when I was in high school. So, in 8th grade. And elementary school. So, you know, it is what it is. But you guys get my point? Marriage, planned by God. God made it. So the goal is, in the next few weeks, we're going to study. The goal is to get you principles. So that when that time comes, if it comes, you're not making calls based off what you saw on Friends last night, or what you see in your group of friends, or something like that. I want you to have verses. I want you to have Bible principles that can inform your decisions. So, let's pray out.